You're listening to The Bagel Bunch. We are Jews who discuss juicy topics with Jews in Nashville, with more Jews about Judaism in the world. This week on The Bagel Bunch, we speak to Susan Pankowski.
I grew up in Texas. I was born in Houston, and then I moved to San Antonio when I was probably 10 or so, and I lived in Texas until I was 23 or so. Then I moved back to Houston after I went to college, and I went to college to be a physical therapist, and I did physical therapy for a little bit, and then I decided a biology major and did research. So that was before I left Texas.
And what are you doing now?
Now I'm a librarian, because at one point when I lived in Cleveland, I went to Kent State and I got a master's in medical science.
Do you think being Jewish has fueled your drive to take part in various jobs and roles you have?
For sure. For sure. Not my very first job as a librarian. My very first job as a librarian was an academic librarian, and it was just one of Kent State's smaller campuses that I was the director. But after that, I worked in Jewish libraries all the time, and then when I got out of the library business for a bit, I worked for the Jewish Federation. So I was definitely, and part of that was because I liked being able to do the Jewish politics.
Growing up in Texas, did you have a lot of Jewish friends, and what was your Jewish family like?
So when I was when I was in elementary school, I had friends who went to the same school that I went to that were Jewish, but I wasn't Jewish. I actually grew up Christian, and I was in an Episcopalian school until I was in high school. And my first recollections of anybody being Jewish were these friends of mine who wanted to go, like, to USN or something. They wanted to go to a nicer school, and there weren't any Jewish schools, so they went to the Episcopal school instead, and they didn't have to go to a chapel like the rest of the city. So, what was the other question?
What was your upbringing?
I was brought up by my mom and a single parent, she was very religious. And so I was brought up to go to church I used to tell people I went to church every Sunday, and then I converted, and I went to synagogue every day except because I was in an Episcopalian school. So I went to church every day except Saturday, and then I switched and I went to every day except Sunday. That's not true, because I'm going to show my friends.
What Jewish educational experience did you have?
So when I converted, I went through the Reform movement and did a conversion class for 6 months, and then decided that that wasn't enough. So I went to a conservative conversion class, and I did that for a year. And then I decided that my husband and I, my soon-to-be husband, we went to Israel. And I decided that I'd like to learn more about being Jewish. And I realized that if I didn't convert Orthodox, that future children would not be considered Jewish in Israel. So I went through an Orthodox conversion, and that took a year.
Why and when did you decide to convert?
I decided to convert. I was in the process from the time I was 18. Until I was 22, I decided I didn't believe in Jesus, and that was really not going to work for being a Christian. And so I decided that I wanted to explore other religions, and I started looking around, and I looked at just about everything. And then I read a book called Jews, God, and History by Max Simon. And I went, ooh, that's me. And so I started going. I went to the rabbi at the Hillel after I said hello to the minister from my former church. And I said, I'd like to convert. And he said, no. And I went back. And he said, no. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I went back. And he said, okay, so here's what you do. And that was when I was 21. I started going halal. And so I converted when I was, the last time I converted was when I was 24.
What is the difference between the Jewish communities in Texas and Damascus?
Well, that's interesting because I just came from Houston, where I first started going to synagogue. And there's a synagogue here that's very much like this synagogue, and so I'm very comfortable with it. And I went there to say Kaddish for my mom. And then I also went to the synagogue, which is the largest synagogue in the South, which is why I went to my classes for conversion. So I hadn't been there probably in about 6 or 7 years. It's really different. Houston is a huge Jewish community. They have bakeries, they have lots of restaurants. It's a huge community with every flavor. And so growing up in Texas is really different than, growing up. Being a young adult in Texas as a Jew was very different. But then I was different because I was just learning things.
So, moving back to your own Jewish education, would you have wanted it to be different than it was? And if so,
no. I have not stopped my education. I am, am I 30 years old? I had a bat mitzvah when I was 12. That's in quotes. Sharif, my middle daughter, was 18 months, and we were moving from Atlanta to Cleveland, and I figured that I was 12 and I should have a bat mitzvah. So I had a bat mitzvah, and that's when I first started wearing a talis, and I wouldn't keep that. And that actually was just the real beginning. That was not the first time that I was taking classes or learning about Judaism. It was just a continuous thing, and I had not stopped. I do Talmud with the rabbi on Tuesdays, and I do for about 8 times.
When you converted, did you want to be religious?
Oh, yeah. So when I went to the Reform Movement, they said, okay, you ready after 6 months. Now, how long has it been since you guys were born? How old are you guys? 15? Can you imagine if 6 months from now, someone said, okay, you've never been Jewish, now you're going to be Jewish. I didn't think it was enough time, so I told them no, and that's why I went to the conservative movement. I needed more because this was a huge commitment. It wasn't like, I was going from being Christian all my life to being something completely different that as the person I ended up marrying said to me over and over again, the Holocaust. You can't just say you're Jewish and not expect that somebody might at some point say something negative or do something horrible to you. This is a huge commitment. If you want to be Jewish, this is going to be a big thing. So I took the time to really think about it.
Could you tell us how you decided to join Muslims?
There was no other choice. This is the only conservative synagogue. But that's not true, because at one point, I also belonged to Sharif Israel. and I would go down there for about 6 or 7 years. And then when I, when my daughter, my youngest, Raquel, was right after her bat mitzvah, and we decided that we weren't real comfortable down there and that we'd rather come back. So,
how active are your children in the Jewish community, and do they all go to Beit Marian?
They all went to Beit Marian. My son Nathan lives in Israel. He lives in a suburb of Tel Aviv. He davens twice a day. He wears tefillin and tzitzit and kippah all the time. He is what they call a modern Orthodox or a Batilonomi. So he is he's very committed, you know, keeps kosher and everything. My little daughter is teaching here for a bit. And she's not religious. She doesn't do kosher. Much to my chagrin. But she is moving back to Israel in summer. And then my youngest, she was here. She knows everything. But, you know, she comes when she comes with me. She dabbles like everybody else.
While your kids were making the decision to Israel, were you fully supportive of the decision or hesitant to Israel?
I was never hesitant, but I was very, I had rules. There were things that they had to make sure that they did before they left. And actually, it was just Shmuel, not Nathan. I told my daughter that she needed to make sure that all of the requirements were done ahead of time, that she really thought about it a lot, and that she wanted to go in the army, or she wanted to, whatever she wanted to do. It wasn't something that she could do over the course of a few weeks. It was going to take some time. And it took about 6 months before she, from the time she decided to do it.
You've lived in 8 states, so you were interested in hearing about the other Jewish names and congregations you've been a part of and understanding.
Oh my goodness. So I was just talking to someone today about the fact that Oklahoma City, they didn't know what kosher was. Mm-hmm. And there were 2 synagogues, they were Reform and Conservative. And if you were a member of one, you were a member of the other one, because you were being supported by both. And same thing in Albuquerque, 2 synagogues, no kosher anything at the time that I went there. There was a guy with a big freezer, and every 3 months he would buy kosher meat, and we would go and buy it. And I didn't know about that in the beginning, so I had to learn how to soak and salt chicken. And yeah, it was a pretty interesting thing. I love being in Cleveland. There's a great Jewish community, a lovely Jewish community. People there have been Jewish for a long time. It's an old community. It was great. Detroit, I didn't really know that many people, but there's a lot of people from West End who were from Detroit. And those people were like, oh yeah, I remember the memorial and I remember this. Yeah. So I love that. Atlanta was big. It has probably 30 synagogues. And then lots of kosher, lots of this, lots of that. You guys have probably all been to Atlanta. Yes? Mm-hmm. And then because of Miss Y or because of. but there's such a good connection between here in Atlanta and the Jewish communities and the physical mom and stuff. So.
Has your view on Judaism changed at all while staying and being a part of different Jewish communities?
Absolutely. I think that my commitment to being an egalitarian Jew is much stronger, and the people that I met along the way helped me with figuring out who I was as a Jew. So, for instance, my kashrut level and my commitment to starting to wear tefillin and wearing the kippah and wearing the talis and all those things that didn't happen when I was first starting. You know, because there were a lot of congregations that were not egalitarian. Women didn't have talis, women didn't wear kippahs, didn't wear talis. That all changed over the last 4 years that I've been in the house.
Could you describe any disadvantages or struggles you faced in here?
Yes. When I was in graduate school for water science, I had a teacher who told me that Yom Kippur, I needed to take a test. And I said, there were other people in the class that were Jewish, and I said, you know, I can't take this test. And the other two were not religious at all, and they said, oh yeah, we'll do it. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And I didn't do it. And I failed the class. I didn't fail the class, but I failed the test.
What about in your journal?
No. I've always worked either, in the last 30 years, I haven't worked for anyone who isn't Jewish who wouldn't understand. I am looking for a job though, and so that's going to be a real eye opener if somebody treats me differently.
Were there any times you were feeling good?
No.
How important is living Jewish to you, and what does that look like for you?
It's a day-to-day thing, especially now. My mom passed away in November, and I am saying Kaddish twice a day, most of the time. I started wearing tefillin when my sister died last May. And so I see Ben Dutrin all the time because both of us are saying Kaddish for parents. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal for me. It's like, it's what I do right now. Because I'm not working full time. And because I work here, I'm here.
What aspects of Judaism are most important to you?
Honestly, being egalitarian, I'm one of those people who loves the new Siddur because the new Siddur says imahot, you know, and I've been adding imahot since before then because there was a friend who became a rabbi and she was like 15 years ago, she said, look at what they added to it, you know, they added imahot, and they're like, ooh, I like that, I feel like we have to. As a woman, I want to participate, and I want to be part of this process, and you don't want to be left out, and that's part of the reason I won't go to share it with anyone, because I feel like they understand that we're all, we all should be out there.
Can you tell us about indexing Jewish periodicals and what you learned from that experience?
Actually, that was very cool because I had to sit and read all of these journals, and I learned a lot about what was going on in the world, and because they were, that was a long time ago, so now I'm trying to remember what I read, but I read things like, there was a magazine called Commentary, and so Rabbi Hell was doing, you know, he's doing the scholar residences this weekend. He has very high philosophical ideas about Judaism. I don't understand half of them. But when I was doing the reading things like Commentary, it was the same sort of thing. And I was new to being Jewish relatively. 10 years old, and I was doing this, I was reading these articles on a regular basis, and then there was things like, you know, talking about Israel, and talking about what was happening in the Jewish world, and what was happening in the outside world that had to do with being Jewish. So it was a good learning thing for me. And then it also gave me vocabulary because I had to learn what words needed to be indexed.
Can you tell us about your time as president of Hadassah in both Nashville and Havana and about the work Hadassah does?
So in Atlanta, I was, they have little chapters. It's not like one great big, one big chapter. It's like little ones all over the city because it's a big community. And so I have friends that I've hung out with and try to raise money for Hadassah. Do any of you know Hadassah?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all? Just a little bit? So Hadassah is the largest women's organization in the United States. It's not the largest Jewish organization. It's the largest Jewish organization in the United States. And it's the largest women's organization in the United States. And it's the largest Jewish women's organization in the United States. It has over 30,000 members. And all of your parents, your mothers, are probably members of Hadassah. And it is an organization that basically raises money for hospitals, in a couple of hospitals in Jerusalem, and started by nurses. And it's an organization that empowers women to learn about diseases that have to be born, and supports legislation that has to be born. And it's a pretty cool thing. And here in Nashville, we have a 2,000-member group, and came to the Octagon Hotel. When I was president, we had a big convention. And, you know, it was a big thing. And I'm not as involved as I used to be, but I know that they're still trying to do very good things, and they do a lot of things that go down to Legislative Plaza and talk about women's health and Israel and peace.
You got the Jews for Social Justice Facebook group. How did you start?
Okay, I don't want to offend anybody. Am I going to offend anybody if I talk about Trump? You sure? Okay. All right. Because I don't like to be offensive about what's going on, but I also feel like it's important. When Trump was elected, I got very upset because there were too many things that I felt were going to fall apart. And I decided that there was a woman who, I don't know if you remember her, my brain is forgotten. There are a lot of people in the Jewish community who feel very strongly about social justice. And the things that have happened since Trump was elected have been very concerning, as you probably all have seen. And so I decided that I would take events, legislation, and actions that other people were doing and put them in a group just for the Jews in Nashville. And then make sure that if people wanted to go do those things or call their senators or their legislators, or if there was someone who felt very strongly about a certain thing, as long as it wasn't asking for money, I put it on the group. And there was another group called the National Jewish Social Justice Roundtable. And I started with them. But then, you know, like there's the LGBTQ community. And that affects the LGBTQ Jewish community. So I added events for that. And then I added events for the women. And then I added, you know, if they would win the Women's March happened. I put in that. When I put, I have encouraged people to do positive things. I've encouraged people to call and let other people know about what's going on in the national community. because I feel like we're Jews. Social justice is part of who we are. And I needed to have a voice. And I needed to help. And this is the only way I could do it. And I don't belong to a Jewish organization. I don't work for a Jewish organization that I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I never asked my body if it was okay.
What social justice causes are important to you, and what recommendations do you have for a class on getting more involved in social justice?
And I think that there are so many, unfortunately, at the moment. I think that the rabbi's cause seems to be immigration, which is understandable because it affects him and it affects his kids. I personally have, because when I was in Hadassah, I and two other people were trying to help people who were who wanted to get married, who were part of the LGBTQ community. So we got some people to come from New York. We got some people from Nashville to talk about same-sex marriage. And it wasn't even called marriage at the time. It was just, allowing people to be couples. So that's definitely something I feel strongly about. And it really kind of, if I see an injustice, I'm going to talk about it. And if it especially affects the Jewish community, like in Philadelphia and the shooting, that to me is, gun control is huge. But I'm all over the place. And it's kind of unfortunate. So I think that what I would say is it would be up to the class to say, I was just hearing an NPR thing this morning where the Parkland shooting victims or the survivors, when they went out to talk about Parkland, they had to focus on one thing, and they focused on gun control. They could have done mental health, they could have done any other number of things, but they made the decision about what they were focusing on. And so that's why I think that if you do a class, you have to say, this is what we're going to talk about, and focus on that, because I am all over.
What changes have you seen in West End since you started working
there? rabbis, cantors, not cantors, the community, Miriam, block moving on. Sorry. It's a community that's pretty stable in a lot of respects, and it's transitional in other respects. And I've been the librarian here since 1998, and then I left a little bit, then I came back, and it really hasn't, in some ways it hasn't changed at all, and in other ways it's changed a lot. The most important thing I think is that women are definitely more participatory.
Is religion an important factor to you in how you build your community?
I do have friends outside of the Jewish community, but especially through social justice causes. But most of my friends are.
What is your hope for the future of National Jewish Community?
More kosher restaurants. I need kosher restaurants because I keep kosher, and my son keeps kosher, and I really like it if he was able to eat when he comes to visit. Because it's really kind of sad. More than that, I think I'm a building is Jewish community-wise, though, I think we're doing good.
Could you tell us what advice you would give to your 13 or 14 year olds?
Oh my gosh. Wow. You think about that for a second. Be open to new ideas. Travel. And enjoy the people you meet. Get to know them well. Because you never know who's going to still be your friend when you're 13 or 14. But I can guarantee you, after just posting something on Facebook today, I have a friend who I've known for 27 years, and we're still friends, and it's great. And I'm very grateful to have my friends. 13 or 14 years, your old person who I never lived. I thought that those were all the people around me. So many of you.
To you, what's the best part about being Jewish?
The people. I enjoy being part of the community. I enjoy having the close friends that I have, including my grandparents, my dad, my mom. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so I will tell you first about my two grandmothers. So both of them were religious. One grandmother was Episcopalian, but she was brought up Baptist, so she converted. And she resented the fact that I converted so much that she almost didn't come to my wedding. But she ended up coming. My other grandmother said, as long as you believe in God, I'm okay with it. My mother, until she moved here a couple of years ago, was not happy. She was worried about my children. She thought they were going to learn in hell. She prayed for them every day. And then when she moved here, I think she realized that there was a whole lot more to being Jewish than she knew. And it was the first time we'd lived in the same city since I was a kid. So it was actually really important for her and for me. And by the end, she was going to Shabbat things at the place where she was living because a lot of her friends were Jewish. And that hadn't happened. Yes.
Do you were growing up with your Jewish friends, did they ever teach you to the Jewish custom of the practice?
We had Hanukkah. That's what I remember. Hanukkah. We went and lit Hanukkah menorahs, you know, every year. And I don't think any of those kids were religious. I'm pretty sure that none of them were religious, and I'm pretty sure that none of them were religious. Because they always do their reunions for our high school around Yom Kippur. You want to talk about, ask me a question about the library? Come on.
I've got a question about the
library. Yes.
I have a question. What would you say would be the main thing that maybe
Well, the main one was because I asked a question of the minister where I went to the church I went to. And he couldn't answer, and he said, "You just have to believe." And I said, "But that doesn't work for me," because I was 17. And at the time, I was like, you know, excuse me, you're not even going to answer me? And that's when I started looking. And it really upset me that I couldn't answer any question. Then I found Judaism, which is all about asking questions. And it was awesome. And there are no right, there everybody, you know, there's say 5 Jews, 6 Jews, you know, it's great to me. That's one of the reasons I like talking so much. Because it's not about the question, it's about all the different answers and how interesting it is to learn about your Judaism through these people who were centuries ago, you know, but they were thinking all these questions themselves. I think it's cool. I like the
library.
So,
question about the library.
Sure.
What's your favorite book in the library, and what's a book you're reading right now? You can answer.
What's the... my favorite book in the library, I don't have one. there are too many, and I do know them by, some of them by color, and placement. And there was a yoga class that happened for a while in the library, meditation, and I couldn't do it, because I'd sit in there and I'd go, oh, that's in the wrong place. Oh, that's too beautiful. Oh, I remember I need to do that. So I was thinking about work. I wasn't thinking about but I am currently reading a book by called In the Image. And it's a Holocaust related identity. It's a fiction book. I like Jewish fiction. I like Jewish fiction, I like Jewish science fiction, I like Jewish mysteries. I don't really read that too much nonfiction.
So in terms of nonfiction, what's your favorite part of Jewish history that you read about or just are interested in?
Anything having to do with Sephardic Jews. I think that's cool. I think, you know, the whole I've read some stuff on the expulsion. Jews from Spain. There is a teeny tiny possibility that there's some gene in the middle in that part of the world that I have. So I keep hoping that there's some Jewish something inside of me that, you know. Yeah, I might be a Sephardic Jew. And because I converted, I can pick.
Is that true?
Yes, actually. Usually it's who everybody goes to. I'm not married anymore, so I'm not supportive.
Yeah, exactly.